God, hallelujah. Everybody doing all right this evening? Yes. Praise the Lord. All right. Let's do a little something before we get started. Play a little game. Play a game of chance, if you will. Game of the odds. We're going to play heads or tails. Simple game, right? You've all flipped a coin before. So I need a flipper and I need a spotter. So what we're going to do is I'm going to have everybody stand up and then we're going to guess heads or tails. If you think it's going to be heads, raise your hand. If you think it's going to be tails, raise your hand. So my spotter is going to keep everybody honest. And if you raise your hand for one or the other and you miss it, you sit down. You're eliminated, right? So you be my flipper? Yep. One of you be my spotter?
She'll be your spotter.
All right. So like I said, heads or tails, really simple. Everybody's done it before. Raise your hand if you think it's going to be heads. And if you don't want to play, that's fine. You don't have to play. You can sit down. All right, so heads. Who thinks it's going to be tails?
Well, this is too hard.
Tails never fails.
All right, let's flip and see. Where does it lie? It's heads. All right, so if you guess tails, sit down. All right, next. Who thinks it's going to be heads? All right, tails. All right, let's see. Tails. All right. Who we got left? All right. We're thinning it out. Looks good. All right. Who thinks it's going to be tails?
Okay.
All right. Who thinks it's going to be heads? All right. What you got? Tails.
Yes!
All right. See who's left. What do you got? Three left?
Four.
Four left? All right. Heads? Tails.
Heads.
Let's try this again. Heads? Tails? Did everybody guess heads?
Everybody guessed.
All right. Y'all got lucky on that one. All right. Heads. Tails. All right. I think you're the lone wolf on this one.
Uh-oh.
It's heads. All right. Down to you three. Heads or tails? Who thinks it's going to be heads? Tails? All right.
It is heads.
So that means that you are the lucky winner. And since we're dealing with coins, and you win a quarter. You win the quarter. No, I came prepared. So I'm going to hand you a crisp $10 bill. How's that? All right. Money talks, right? Money. All right. Praise the Lord. All right. Yeah, let's play again. Let's up the ante, right? All right. Well, praise the Lord. Yeah. We're playing for Pastor John's wallet this time. No, all right. Praise God. All right. Well, that was fun. So if you have your Bible, if you would turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Praise the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 28. And ironically enough, the title of my message tonight is Heads or Tails. Deuteronomy chapter 28, and we'll start with verse number 1. It says, "Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all which you set your hand. And He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to Himself, just as He has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in His ways. Then all these peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you His good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. And the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. Amen. Praise the Lord. He commands the blessing on you if you do what? Obey. Amen? If you obey His commandments, He says He commands the blessing on you. He will make you the head and not the tail. Continuing on in verse 13, it says, "You shall be above only and not beneath, if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them." Say, that's me. Praise the Lord. So, this past year, right, we don't have to talk about it a lot. We don't have to get into it, right? 2020 was a doozy, right? 2020 was a doozy. And like Pastor John said on Sunday, you know, falling with him at the beginning of the year usually, and it's a privilege to be able to preach at the beginning of the year, new year. You get to make a charge and a declaration. But maybe in 2020, maybe you weren't the head. Amen? Maybe you were the tail in 2020. Maybe in 2020, you weren't just the tail, but maybe you felt like the whole rear end. Right? I can honestly say that at some points, I felt like the whole rear end. If we can be honest tonight, church, I would say that a lot of us have felt that way. If we can be honest tonight, church, if we got overly involved in the political climate, we probably made ourselves look like the whole rear end. Man, let me tell you, this is 2021, amen? This is a new year. This is a fresh start. The Bible says that His mercies are new every morning, amen? Not just every year, every morning. So if you were the whole rear end yesterday, you get a chance to be the head today, amen? Praise the Lord. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only, not beneath. Praise the... Whew. God has set up a plan for this year. And if you do what this says and you obey the commandments, you obey His statutes, His commands, His will for your life, He promises that you will be above and not beneath, that you will be the head and not the tail. Amen? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. And I'm going to go a little bit different direction. I was praying and studying and searching some things out, and I do want this message to be an encouragement to you about the blessing being upon your life. But I really wanted to emphasize the head and not the tail, right? The head and the tail. And there's a person in the Bible who I'm quite fond of. His name is Peter. Now, a lot of us are familiar with Peter for many of the things that he's done, right? Some good, some not so good. So I wanted to look at this being the head and being the tail thing through the perspective of Peter and some things that happened in his life. So you're there in Matthew chapter 14. Let's start with verse 25. Now this is the account of Jesus walking on water, right? This is after the feeding of the 5,000, and they go away. And here's where we pick up, in verse 25, chapter 14, the book of Matthew, verse number 25. It says, "Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a ghost!' And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid.' And Peter answered him and said, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' So he said, 'Come.' And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus." Verse 30, "But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, 'You of little faith, why did you doubt?' And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, 'Truly, you are the Son of God.'" So we see Peter here, and Jesus is on the water. They think it's a ghost. He says, "No, not a ghost. It's me, Jesus. Everything's okay." Said, "Jesus, if it's you, command me to come to you." So Jesus said, "Come on. Come on, big boy." So Peter, you'll notice this as we go along. Peter's a very zealous person. He's very zealous. He wants to just go for it. So he steps out, right? He steps out of the boat. And he's got his eyes on Jesus, and he's walking to Jesus, and he's focused. But then he starts to see the waves and the wind picking up, and gets a little scary, right? So he starts to sink. And the cool thing about this is Jesus covered a lot of ground in a very short period of time, right? Because he says he starts to sink, but then Jesus grabs his hand, right? So Jesus was like speed walking on water, or like teleported. It's Jesus. He can do whatever he wants, right? So I thought it was interesting. But what's also interesting to me is we look at this and we tend to see this portrayal of Peter as doubting, and this is he messed up, and Jesus said, "You have little faith, why did you doubt?" But have you ever walked on water? I didn't think so. The man literally walked on the water. Let's give him some credit. He stepped out of the boat. Some of us are still sitting in the boat. Peter stepped out of the boat and walked on the water. And I find this interesting as well. Just sidebar, Matthew is the only account that tells you that Peter walked on the water. Did you know that? Matthew's account is the only one that mentions Peter stepping out on the water. See, Matthew thought that this was important. This was a big deal. This is an example for you. I'm not saying that, you know, Mark, Luke, John, I'm not saying they missed it. They just didn't put it in there, right, for some reason. So, Peter stepped out and walked. He took steps on top of the water. But what happened? The waves rose up. The wind beat against him. He realized, "I'm in the middle of this sea, walking on the waves. This isn't natural. So he got afraid. He got afraid. But Jesus was there. Jesus was there to lend a helping hand. Jesus used this as a teaching moment, as he often did, right? Because he's rabbi, teacher. So he said, "Peter, nice try, but why did you doubt? I commanded you to come, right? Why did you doubt?" So this is one of those times that I would say Peter probably felt like the tail. In this moment, Peter probably felt like the tail. He didn't feel like he was above. He was almost literally beneath. But Jesus, being the gracious teacher that he is, he didn't kick him to the curb and say, "Get back in this boat, swim to shore." No, he helped him back in. He taught. He welcomed him, loved him, right? And then it says that those who were in the boat worshiped Jesus, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Amen. Turn to Matthew 16. You're right there in chapter 14. Go over to chapter 16. Y'all doing okay? Yes. Praise the Lord. Matthew chapter 16, starting with verse 13. It says, "When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, 'Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' So they said, 'Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets.' He said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' Simon Peter answered and said, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' Jesus answered him and said, 'Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah,'" Simon, son of Jonah, "'for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And also I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven.'" Hallelujah. So he says, "Who do people say that I am?" Yeah, people say lots of things, Jesus. People say some things that you probably don't want to know. People call you some things that you probably don't want to hear. But people say that you're one of the prophets. They say that you're Elijah or Jeremiah. He says, "But who do you, my disciples, who do you say that I am?" And so Peter spoke up. He said, "You are the Son of the living God." Amen. The Son of the living God. And Jesus said, "Blessed are you, Simon Peter, because flesh and blood hasn't told you this. My Father from heaven has revealed this to you." And he says here, "Also I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." Now, some people have taken this idea, right? Certain beliefs have taken this and said this means that Peter is the head of the church, right? On this rock, because Peter means rock, right? Peter, I'm going to establish my church through you, and you're going to be the rock, and you're going to be the foundation of the church. But actually what he's saying here is, I'm going to establish and build my church based on me. I am the rock, right? Because Jesus is the chief cornerstone. Amen? That's what the Bible says. So he says that I'm going to establish my church based on me, Because Peter, if you study it out, actually just means pebble or a piece of the rock. He says that I'm going to hand the keys of the kingdom of heaven over to you. Well, what he's actually saying here is that he's going to hand the keys of the kingdom over to the church. Amen? So, got a little twisted in there with certain faiths and beliefs, but if you study these things out, Jesus is the rock. Amen? We all agree with that? Amen. Jesus is the rock. Jesus is who the church is established upon. But he lifted Peter up and he gave Peter a little boost, right? He said, Peter, you did a good job because you know who I am. You know who I am, and I can work with that. And I can establish my church, and my church will know that I am the Son of the Living God. And I will give the church the keys. And Peter, you will do great things. And he did. Amen? Peter did amazing things. But this is a moment right here that I believe we could confidently say that Peter felt like the head and not the tail. Amen? Peter got a little confidence boost after getting blasted and saying that he was a doubter and you have little faith, right? But this moment right here, I believe this is a shining moment for Peter because truly, he says, you know who I am. Amen? Hallelujah. Peter, I believe that Peter cared so much, and obviously for the right reasons, but he cared so much about what Jesus said, what Jesus taught, what Jesus was, and he was so, like I said before, he was so zealous for Jesus and the kingdom of heaven. And Peter always had the best of intentions. He always had the best of intentions. There's a saying that says the road to hell is paved with good intentions, right? So it's not just about having good intentions, but it's about what we talked about before, being obedient to the commandment that Jesus gave. And I think that we can take a little excerpt from Peter's life and say, listen, he was zealous and he was all for it and he was all in it and he was ready to go all the time, right? But sometimes he missed it. Sometimes he missed it. And that's okay, right? That's okay. Because we're not expected to be perfect. We're not expected to be perfect. Go to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26, in verse 31. Then Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Peter answered and said to him, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. Careful what you say, Peter. Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you that this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all the disciples. So Peter got him stirred up, got him fired up, right? Even if I have to die with you, Jesus, I'll never turn my back on you. And all the disciples, yeah, ditto. So Peter was convinced in himself, even though Jesus told him, Peter, you're all going to stumble. You're all going to fall. But Peter, nope, not me. Nope, I'm solid, right? I'm Peter. My name means rock, right? I'm solid. I'm with you, Jesus. Jesus told him, just wait. When it comes down to it, you're going to stumble. You're going to fall. It says, then Jesus came to the Garden of Gethsemane, right? And I'm going to paraphrase so we don't have to read all of this, but so he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he tells Peter and the sons of Zebedee to come with him, right? And so Jesus walks along and he says, wait here, I'm going to go pray. So Jesus goes and is by himself for a moment, and it says that he comes back over and finds them sleeping, right? He says, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Couldn't you wait up with me for 1 hour? And so he says, the spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. We know that's true, right? We can be willing, but we don't always follow through. That obedience isn't always there. Our spirit is willing to do it. But sometimes our flesh gets the best of us. Again, a second time, Jesus went away to pray, and he came back, and they were asleep again. And he says to Peter, He says to Peter the first time, could you not watch with me 1 hour? He comes back again, and they're asleep. Says that he goes off again to pray and comes back and says, are you still sleeping? Behold, the hour is at hand that the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise and let us be going. So he gets on Peter again, right? He gets on Peter. He says, I brought you with me for a reason, and yet you sleep here. Come on, Peter. Come on. Get with it. You're willing. You came. Thumbs up for that one. But you slept the whole time. You couldn't sit up with me and pray. So I think that Peter's roller coaster ride is very, very much like our lives. Because there are seasons that we're in it and we're hot, right? And then there are times that for whatever reason, we slack off and the things of God aren't at the forefront and maybe they don't seem as important to us. And let me tell you, there's nothing more important and there's nothing greater than our consistent walk with God. Consistency is so vital in the Christian life. And I've been guilty of that myself. I would say that we've all probably been there. But man, consistency, that'll go a long way. Praise God. Peter made a lot of mistakes. But his care and love, his devotion for Jesus always prevailed. Always prevailed. His love and even his zeal, it always showed up. Amen. Even if we keep reading down through here where Jesus is arrested and Judas comes with the soldiers and says, greetings, Rabbi, kissed him. And Jesus says, friend, why have you come? Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And suddenly, in Matthew's account, it says, one of those who were with Jesus. It's like, man, you've caught a lot of flack. I'm going to give you a break on this one. One of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword, struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. Peter drew his sword and cut off a man's ear. Yeah, that was for you, Jesus. But Jesus says, put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. It's one of those Old Testament eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, ear for a Jesus. But Jesus says, Peter, that's not necessary. It even says that Jesus healed the man's ear, right? Peter was one of those guys that you wanted him on your team, right? You wanted him on your team because he was going to be the guy. I joke with Christina, talking about her illustrious basketball career, and joking with her about the coach bringing her in just to foul. Right? Yeah. Peter was sort of like that guy. Peter's going to take the... Yeah, you're Peter. No. Peter's going to take the heat, right? He's zealous. He's ready to get in there, right? But he doesn't do it in a very delicate way, right? I love you. But he's one of those people that you want to have on your team. Right? And if we go to the book of John, chapter 21, in verse 15 it says, so when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, remember, Peter denied Jesus. Jesus told Peter that he would deny him. And he did it just as Jesus said, right? Three times he denied him. Three times Peter turned his back on Jesus. Three times Peter was more concerned in the moment with his safety than he was about his following of Jesus and knowing Jesus and being a disciple of Jesus. But in John chapter 21, verse number 15, it says, so when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? Peter said to him, well, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, of course, Lord. What do you mean? Of course I love you. Tend to my sheep. And he said to him a third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. So Peter denies Jesus. And just like Jesus predicted, the disciples were scattered, right? They all went into hiding. And this is after Jesus' resurrection, and he appears and he asks him, do you love me? He asked Peter, do you love me? Now, what's the great commandment? What's the command that we have from Jesus? To love the Lord your God with all of your heart. He says, do you love me, Peter? Peter says, of course, Jesus. Of course I love you. Then he asks him again, do you love me? He asks him again, do you love me? Why is he asking him three times? We all know, because he denied him three times. This was Jesus' restoring Peter. Do you love me? Yeah, I love you. Then go take care of my church. Tend to my sheep. Do you love me? Yes, Jesus, of course I love you. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? I can't believe you're asking me this, Jesus. If you do, then go tend to my sheep. Peter, in this moment, was restored to Jesus just as if he had never denied him in the first place. And isn't that so special? Because when we accept Jesus and we turn our lives over to him, it's as if we never sinned in the first place. That's special. Go quickly, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 24. We're talking about being the head and not the tail. Amen? When Peter denied Jesus, he was definitely the tail in that moment. He was definitely the whole rear end in that moment. But then Jesus restored him back to being above and not beneath, to being the head and not the tail. Amen? Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 16 says, "For a righteous man may fall seven times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity." For a righteous man may fall seven times. Maybe in 2020, it seemed like you stumbled and fell seven, eight, nine. But it says that a righteous man may fall seven times, but he will rise again. He will rise again. Falling is not fatal. I'll say that again. Falling is not fatal. 1 John 1:9 says what? That if we confess our sins, that he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. Praise the Lord. Go to Psalm, just seems good to me. Go to Psalms 121, and I have a few here, if we have time, just to encourage you. I know that there's a lot going on everywhere, it seems like, all the time. But we, the church, we, the righteous, we are above and not beneath. We are the head and not the tail. Psalm 121:3 says, "He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber." He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. God is keeping you tonight. Amen? He's not allowing your foot to be moved. Go to Psalms 112, verse 6. Just a few pages over. says, "Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance." He will never be shaken. The righteous, say, that's me. You're the righteous. You're the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen. He keeps you in his remembrance while he's not slumbering, right? He's thinking about you. He's keeping your foot. He's staying your hand. He is keeping you. And he'll never be shaken. Go to Psalm 37, verse 25. Psalm 37, verse 25. Says, "I have been young and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging for bread." I have never seen the righteous forsaken. Go to Isaiah 41, verse 10. Hallelujah. Isaiah 41. Most of these should be familiar scriptures. It says, "Fear not." Boy, that's a big one. "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. When Peter was walking on the water and he began to fall and stumble and sink, what was there to save him? The righteous right hand. Amen. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I will keep you. Fear not, for I am with you. I will make you the head and not the tail. I will always set you above, never beneath. Amen. And then we've been talking so much about the 91st Psalm, I just thought it good to go to Psalm 91, verse 10. Amen. Psalm 91, starting with verse 10, says, "No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot, because he has set his love upon me. Therefore, I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." I like to personalize this and put I and me and speak it over yourself. Amen? But he says here that I will keep you in all your ways. I will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone, and lest you stumble, lest you mess up, lest you find yourself in the position of the tail and not the head. He says, I will keep you and I will bear you up and I will put you. It says in verse 14, I will set him on high. I will put you above. But going back to Deuteronomy chapter 28, our first goal is to be obedient, right? Be obedient to his commands. So let's continue to be obedient to his command, to his word, to his will. Let's not get caught up in the ways of this world, the things of this world. Do I believe we should know what's going on? Absolutely. Do I believe that we should pray? 100%. Do I believe that we should take to Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and... Come on. I believe that this is the year. I read Brother Copeland's prophecy. You know, he has a prophecy for every year. And he said that this would be the year of the local church. This is the year of the local church. Amen? As we're obedient, as we follow his precepts, as we follow after him in all of our ways, this is our year. Amen? Heck, every year is our year because God is faithful. So let's go forward. Let's not look back at 2020. Let's not look back at the tail, right? Let's not be a dog chasing its tail. Oh, I should have done this or I could have done this. Let's move forward. Amen? Because we are the head as long as we follow the head of the church. Amen? Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for this time. God, I thank you so much that your Holy Spirit, your presence is in this place. God, I thank you that you continue to go with us, that you continue to bear us up, that you continue to strengthen us and show us the things ahead. Father, as we continue to follow after you and seek after you, God, we continue to increase and never decrease. We continue to be above and not beneath. We continue to be the head and not the tail. Father, I thank you that as we follow you, as we look to you, as we seek you this year, God, that we would discover more and more who we are in you and who you are in us, in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's all I got for you, Pastor John. All right. You are dismissed.